And so you turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. This evening we're going to study together Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. Here's the word of God. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Shall we pray? Our Father, remind us again that our life is really short, but this life is our preparation for our heavenly life. So Father, please grow us, strengthen us, that we can desire of your city of Zion. Please be with us, and please give us your Son, Jesus. We want to be with him every moment. Let us love him. Teach us how to love him, Father. And teach us how to deny ourselves, but carry our own cross, following our precious Lord Jesus, our Savior. Please let us worship him this time. Give us your own word. We will be with you now and ever. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our text, as we just read, shows us that Jacob, our main character in this chapter or in this passage, he's left alone and he wrestles with God fiercely. And I think this picture is a correct or precise summary of the whole life of Jacob for the most part. And I even think that the same picture or description can apply to many of us here as well. So if you look back upon your life, how would you summarize your life? Obviously, as a Christian, you want to say, or you should say, that the central factor or controlling principle of your life has to be viewed or understood from the perspective of your personal relationship with God and Christ. So if I may ask, how close have you been with your God? Or how many times did you try to wrestle with God to get your own way? And how many times did you win over the wrestles with God, Or should I ask, how many times has God broken you? To give you the context for our passage, our chapter begins with God's angels appearing to Jacob. So verse 1, in the same chapter, Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means two camps of army. So here the armies, or two camps of army of God's angels, begin to surround Jacob. So it is apparent that God is with him and God cares for him. And God wants to assure Jacob of his safety. But that's not the whole picture, whole story. So verse 6 in the same chapter, the messengers return to Jacob saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. So here, Jacob is confronted with two realities. One, God seems to want to protect him. The other, Esau is on the way to kill him. So how is Jacob supposed to respond to these two different realities? It's not easy, isn't it? But to some degree, we can relate to Jacob, his situation in our passage, because we learn from the Bible that God protects us. We learn from the Bible that we are children of God and his heart is fixed upon us. But at the same time, interestingly, we go through sometimes or many times sufferings, some mysterious hardships and pains. Even though we are children of God, this difficult life or situations do not seem to stop coming to us. The armies of God's angels here remind Jacob of his dream of the ladder when 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, Jacob had to leave or flee from his brother, older brother Esau's anger or furious because he tricked him, and Esau got mad and he wanted to kill his younger brother. So when he left one day on his journey to go to another place, he fell asleep, and in his dream he saw this ladder. On this ladder, angels of God were ascending and descending. You remember that, right? But let me remind you, it is Genesis 28. Let me quote Genesis 28:15. God at that time told Jacob, "Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." It was 20 years ago. But now, 20 years have passed. But look at the context or picture where Jacob is situated. His brother is coming to kill him. Poignantly to Jacob, the whole situation doesn't seem to have changed anything at all. Jacob is confronted again with the contrast between God's promise and God's seeming indifference to his own promise. 20 years have passed. Jacob is thinking, "I left my hometown and I have been treated badly by my horrible boss or my father-in-law, Laban. I even had to work for how many years? 14 years in order to marry Rachel that I love. But look at myself. Nothing has changed. What has God done for me? What has God done to fulfill his own promise. 20 years ago, he promised me that he will keep his own promise. But now, the situation doesn't seem to have changed at all. So what has my life been for now that I'm going to be killed by Esau anyway? So this struggle of Jacob is very acute in our passage. But I want you to know that his struggle has actually begun long time ago. It began from the very beginning of his life. As you remember, God promised that Jacob would be in the blessings of God. Jacob would be the one of God's love and God's blessings. But what happened? In the womb, his older brother or twin brother was so stronger and came out of the womb before Jacob did. He tried hard to drag him down, but he could not. That was not the whole story. Esau was kind of muscular, manly, you know, very strong type of man, while Jacob was very domestic, soft, tender type of man. So according to the eyes of Isaac, Esau was to be the one in God's blessing, not Jacob. Because Jacob always enjoyed talking with his own mom in the tent, while Esau is bragging about his own strength or muscles outdoors. So to Jacob, it must have been a perplexing thing. Did God make a mistake? If God really wanted me to be in the line of his blessings, why did God make things that complicated, that confusing? Why did God make the situations such a way that I feel like I have to help God to fulfill his own promise? If that makes sense. Many times in his life, Jacob believed that he had to do anything he could in order to help God to fulfill his own promise. In all these disappointing circumstances, Jacob was convinced that God was so slow. So God needed his help. In our passage, verse 22, the same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Here, we can say that Jacob feels most vulnerable in his whole life. He's threatened to death right now. So he had just had to be by himself. There seems to be nothing that he can do now. He believes that he has done everything that he could do in order to help the slow God to fulfill his own promise. Soon, Jacob is going to be killed and everything will fail. Everything he built up so far, everything he achieved will be now meaningless. But our passage shows us that suddenly, out of the blue, out of nowhere, suddenly God comes to Jacob. In a total darkness, when no one is able to recognize anything, suddenly God appears before Jacob. So it was God who took the initiative to begin this wrestle with Jacob. It was God who decided to make a visit with Jacob. It was God who tremendously stooped down to the level of Jacob. Verse 24, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. So obviously God had some thing to fulfill. Something very important that night. Let me read verse 24, 25 together. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Immediately, as God appeared to Jacob, he realized that it might very well be the first and last chance in his whole life to put all things under his control. Only if he could win over this wrestle with God. It is an once-for-all moment to change everything upside down. So Jacob has to win this wrestle. But in reality, God is revealing something to Jacob here in the midst of this wrestle. God wants to teach something to Jacob. This wrestling picture is actually not limited only to this moment. What I mean by that is that it was God that Jacob has been wrestling with in his entire life. Behind the wrestling with Esau, actually Jacob fought against God's providence. Behind the wrestle for Rachel, Jacob tried to be in control of his life. And behind all his wrestlings with all the matters, with all the people, Jacob was actually wrestling with God because he could not accept God's providence. So he had to fiercely oppose God's work, God's lordship over him. Jacob had to take control of his life. That's why God finally had to break him. Our God, the Almighty God, the invincible God, had to break him, hurt him. Verse 25, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, even though it's a very short sentence, we have to know that Jacob lost all his strength. He was so hurt. I believe that he experienced a near death. Have you ever broken any bones in your life? I did 2 times. I really felt like I was dying at that moment. The 2 times. So badly hurt. But God broke the, you know, core part, the hip bone. Jacob lost all his strength. He lost all his power and control. I believe his mind is numb. He couldn't think anything at the moment. So now God says, let me go, for the day has broken. Right after God broke Jacob's hip bone, God says, let me go, for the day has broken. The mission that I wanted to fulfill has now been accomplished. I have fulfilled what I wanted to do, so let me go. I appeared before you to break you, to wound you. Now, let's carefully observe the outcome of God's mission of breaking Jacob from this point. Jacob answers or responds to God, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Again, let's not forget that Jacob has been totally broken. He has been virtually dashed to the ground. See, my mind picture, actually it was God who was holding Jacob. His hip bone was broken. Actually, he couldn't stand. So God was holding Jacob, sustaining Jacob, saying, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I cannot. I cannot let you go unless you bless me." Don't please think that Jacob is still full of energy, fiercely, stubbornly wrestling with God still. No, no, no. He was crying with tears at that time. He literally cried. Even Hosea 12:4 said, "Jacob wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel." Hosea 12:4. But you know what? I believe this sentence, these words, "I cannot let you go unless you bless me," these words were finally a truly humble prayer of Jacob. "Lord, bless me. Otherwise, I will die." I believe that's the tone of his prayer. It was a prayer arising from a broken heart. And it was God who brought about that prayer. It was God's healing grace that caused Jacob to utter the heartfelt prayer. Now God, looking at Jacob and asked, "You want me to bless you? Okay, then what is your name?" God confronts Jacob by asking, "What is your name?" "Jacob, why don't you now confess who you are? I wounded you so that you could realize who you really are before me." As some of you know, the meaning of Jacob is a cheater or liar or supplanter. So God is asking Jacob, "Who do you think you are? Who are you?" For the first time, Jacob honestly confronts with who he is before God, saying, "I am Jacob." In other words, "I'm a loser. That's who I am. I am a deceiver, Lord. I'm a liar. I am a cheater. That's what I've been like over the last many decades, right after I was born. Lord, that's who I am. That's what I'm like. I am nothing but a cheater. I am a loser." Finally, for the first time, Jacob does not avoid admitting who he really is. He's confronted with his own real identity before God. But here's the good news. God says, "No, no, no. Your name is not Jacob. You are not a cheater. You are not a loser when you are in me. You will be called as Israel. I consider you as Israel. If you are apart from me, maybe you are a cheater. Maybe you are a liar. But when you are with me, when you are submitted to me, subject to me, when you acknowledge my lordship over you, in reality, you are Israel." What does that mean? That means God rules, God commands, God prevails. But let me quote Matthew Henry. Personally, I like his translation here. He said, Matthew Henry, "Be you never so called anymore, Jacob. Henceforth, you shall be celebrated not for craft and artful management, but for true valor. You shall be called Israel, a prince with God. Did you hear that? A prince with God. The minute Jacob acknowledged his identity as a deceiver, maybe I can say sinner, he found another identity, which is prince with God, which was granted by God himself. It is a paradoxical aspect of our faith, isn't it? We confess that we are nothing, but at the same time, we learn that we are so precious to God because we are children of God, adopted by Christ. Verse 29, Jacob now asked God, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been delivered." Jacob wants to know who God is more now. "Lord, I want to know about you. Teach me more about you. I think you love me. I think you really, you are concerned about me and you care for me. Lord, please now teach me. Reveal yourself more to me that I can know about you." What about you? What about you, dear brothers and sisters? Do you want to know him? Have you ever even asked God, "Lord, what's your name? Lord, how can I call you? Lord, please teach me more about you, more about your son." Have you ever asked God, pray to him like this, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. Because if you don't bless me, I will die." Isn't this a Christian's prayer? Apart from Christ, we are nothing. Apart from God's marvelous grace, we are literally nothing. But with God, we are children of God. Dear brothers and sisters, again, do you have your own wounds granted by God? Do you have your own wounds or scars caused by God? Let me close with James Boyce quote. James Boyce says upon our text, quote, "However, in his battle with God, Jacob suffers a reversal of his fortunes, which is actually his victory. He loses his wrestling match with God. God touches his hip, and he's permanently wounded. But in the divine logic, which is beyond our full comprehension, this loss is Jacob's victory. And last, Jacob surrenders himself to God. He wins by losing and is now able to go on in new strength as God's man." In other words, the end of quote now, God wounded Jacob to bless him. Now, Jacob's new name has God's own name, Israel, El, God, Prince with God. Jacob won this game by losing. Let's pray. Father, please continue to teach us about your grace. Please continue to inspire or move our hearts, enlarge our hearts and minds to learn about your Son more and more. Your Son appeared to Jacob. And please, as he did, let him appear to us that we can behold him with the eyes of faith. Please let us have the marvelous, privileges, or glorious wounds by which we can glory in you. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.